Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. This holiday season, do something for a special person in your life. You. Give yourself a gift to raise your spirits, and not just for the day. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist 100% online via video, phone, and live chat sessions. And the holiday season is the perfect time to try it and see if therapy is for you. After all, the holidays are a notoriously tough time. Between managing family dynamics, racing from thing to thing, and braving the cold and dark weather, it's normal to feel down. Having someone to talk to about how you're feeling and what you can do about it is truly a gift. When you're armed with more information about what you're experiencing, struggles can feel a little easier to manage. BetterHelp is much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can do it from the comfort of your home on a schedule that works for you. So this holiday season, give yourself the gift of better mental health, a gift that really does keep on giving. Visit BetterHelp.com to see if therapy is for you. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
Hey everyone, this is Boomer Esiason, and I am so delighted to have you join us here on our all-new Game Time podcast. Now today our guest has vaulted his way up the racing ladder to his current NASCAR Cup Series gig, driving the number 24 Chevy Camaro ZL1 for Hendrick Motorsports. It is certainly my pleasure to welcome William Byron. William, welcome to our Game Time podcast.
Yeah, thanks Boomer. Appreciate you having me.
For NASCAR, this has been the year of the next gen car. What do you like about it, and what needs to be done to make it better?
You know, I think safety's kind of been a big thing that we're trying to work on. You know, the rear impacts into the wall have been more physical and harder for the drivers than in the past. So I'd like to see them work on that for sure. But I think that the racing's been really competitive on the track, and there's a lot of, you know, like we talked about, there's a lot more contact and things on the track. So it's been a good season in terms of the racing.
You know, as with everything new, there's always bugs to be worked out that can only be found when the new products are put to the test under real life conditions. Now, some of your fellow drivers, including Denny Hamlin, Joey Logano, and your teammate Chase Elliott, have complained that the next gen cars are too stiff, which they say makes them more dangerous. So what's your take on that safety concern?
Yeah, I think that it's certainly a concern. You know, having a couple drivers have concussions right now is not what we want. But I think, you know, NASCAR is going to work on it, and we're going to get it better. It's the first year, like we talked about, first year with the car, and you know, it is a little too stiff, and we've got to go to work on trying to make it softer so it crushes more when you hit the wall. So I think we'll have some ideas for that in the off season. Hopefully next year we can kind of, you know, put all this stuff behind us with the, you know, some of the increased concussions and things like that.
You know, Brad Keselowski has publicly suggested that at more of the dangerous race courses, many drivers will avoid taking gratuitous risks and will be making so-called business decisions. Have you found that to be the case?
You know, not really. I'm a competitor first and foremost, and I think once I kind of put the helmet on, it's that adrenaline gets going, and the you know, intensity and wanting to win is what is on your mind. So I think that's what I focus on, is just trying to win. And yeah, I do think about the safety outside the car, but during the race, I don't.
You know, speaking of safety, are you glad special rain tires for the short tracks are on the near horizon?
I think that's a cool addition. I think the rain races are kind of exciting for the fans, and it makes it kind of interesting to see who can figure it out, because you're on the edge of control and sliding around a lot. So I think it's a cool addition. Hopefully we can have some rain races next year and see how it goes.
You know, one of the new things about NASCAR is that their leadership started having weekly meetings with you guys, the drivers. Have you found them to be productive?
Yeah, I think so. I think Steve Phelps, the president of NASCAR, he's done a good job kind of organizing those meetings. And, you know, they've listened to us. They've listened to concerns that we have. And I think that just makes us feel good because we feel like, you know, they're going to take action on the things that we're concerned about. Some of that's safety, some of it's competition. So we just got to keep working and kind of make sure we're communicating.
You know, by the way, as we continue our podcast conversation with NASCAR's William Byron, I have to say, he won me over back in October when he tweeted this, things we love to see. NHL hockey is back tonight. So are you still upset that my New York Rangers knocked your Carolina Hurricanes out of the playoffs in 7 games?
You know, I'm not really over it. I was actually at that game and they whooped us pretty good. And it seemed like there were a lot of Ranger fans there. So that was disappointing.
It was for disappointing for you, but not disappointing for me. That's for sure. And I'm sure we'll see each other again in the playoffs this year. So I also know that you are a huge Carolina Panthers fan. I saw a piece on you where you have above your bed the Carolina Panthers Stadium panoramic photo. And I'm just wondering if you thought that maybe your owner, David Tepper, pulled the plug too early on Matt Rhule, the head coach there.
You know, I mean, we gave him a pretty long runway, and I felt like it wasn't working out as, you know, as intended. I was really patient with him, but unfortunately, it just wasn't going very good. So hopefully Steve Wilkes can kind of get us going for the rest of the season, and who knows, we'll see what happens in the future.
You know what I love? I love that you're a fan of other sports and that you pay attention and you're proud of where you are. And of course, you know, being the race car driver you are, you take the checkered flag at Atlanta and Martinsville. And the second win, your victory at the paperclip, as it's known. And I know Martinsville, I was the I guess you can go back many, many years. I was a part of that race a long time ago. Now, that was special for you for a lot of reasons. And one of those reasons was because of what happened the year before with your mom. Tell me that story.
Yeah, so my mom went through, she had cancer. She was diagnosed with cancer the previous year, and it all started at Martinsville. So we were just having a normal spring day. It was kind of, my mom and dad came up to the race, and they were sitting up in the grandstands and watching from the suite area, and she actually went down with kind of a mini stroke event at that time, and ended up being a brain tumor. So yeah, it was a crazy series of events in 2021, and our life kind of turned upside down at that point. You know, everything, she had been healthy at that time, and nothing was going on, and then right then, knowing that she had a brain tumor, and then going through the diagnosis, she ended up going through radiation treatment, and about 6 months later, she was cancer free. But at the time, it was really, really a difficult situation. We didn't really know what was going to happen. And it was so cool to win at Martinsville 1 year later, almost to the date, the same weekend of the year. That was really special. She was up on the pit box and able to watch the race. So it was really cool.
That's great. And how's your mom doing today?
Yeah, she's doing well. She's cancer free. And just kind of going in for her checkups and all those things. So she's doing well.
You know, it's amazing. You NASCAR drivers get a little crazy these days. And you had an incident with Joey Logano. He bumped you into the wall in Darlington. And I'm just wondering, you know, what is happening with you guys? It seems like there's a lot. I know Rubin's racing. I heard that in the movie once. But now bumping into the wall and getting run into the wall is racing. Is that really becoming a thing now?
Yeah, you know, it's the culture's changed a little bit. It's this new car. So we went from an old style car that if you bump too much against other cars, you would get a flat tire. So there was a lot of risk to, you know, hit somebody too hard. With this car, it's pretty much fair game because the tires don't blow. And basically the only thing that's going to hurt you is getting into the wall. So it's gotten more physical this year. The cars are a little bit more durable, and it's made for some more conflict for sure. There's definitely been a lot more conflict on the track.
You know, I'm sure I speak for all the NASCAR fans out there. We love the drama and certainly the dramatic one. William Byron is right in the middle of everything. All right, we'll revisit how this relatively late bloomer forged a highly unconventional path to NASCAR's top 10 when Game Time continues right after this.
What's going on, everyone? Elliot Shore Parks here to talk to you about the latest podcast from Odyssey, the best football show. What is it? Every day, latest rumors, latest buzz around the league, latest from college football, all the latest scores, the latest takes, the best takes, everything you come to expect from the excellent Odyssey NFL coverage every day in your podcast feed at 6 a.m. So make sure you start every day with the best football show on the Odyssey app or wherever you like to listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to Game Time, everyone. Unlike most of his NASCAR colleagues, William Byron didn't grow up hanging around a garage working on cars. He was too busy playing other sports. Now, what makes his narrative so special is that he is among one of the first to make the transition from iRacing to real racing. Now, you didn't grow up with transmission fluid in your veins, so to speak, but you watched NASCAR race on TV and you were hooked. What got you hooked on that initial race?
Yeah, I watched racing. I started watching racing when I was 5 years old. So I was just a young kid that was into other sports. I was into little diecast cars. And I got into watching the truck series on TV and then watching the NASCAR Cup Series. And kind of, I think my, you know, how into cars I was kind of the reason that I got into racing like I did. But yeah, I just watched it for years. And then this computer simulation came out that Dale Jr. was a big part of growing, and actually Roush and Fenway Park, they were a big part of creating iRacing. So I got into iRacing, started racing on the computer almost every day, and my parents realized that I was really good at it, and that I wanted to try to pursue this as a career in the real thing. So it was a pretty crazy transition, but something that is definitely unique to, I guess, the 21st century.
So I read where you begged your dad to take you to Martinsville, going back to that track again. That was your first experience with live racing and seeing it up close and personal.
Yeah, my first experience was, I was 6 years old. We went up to the track there, and I was so into it. I was so hooked by the fuel and the smell of the rubber and just the excitement, the noise. So I was hooked when I was really young, and we started to do road trips to different racetracks, going to Darlington. We would go to probably 6 or 7 races a year, and kind of take time out of the weekend to go do that. So it became a pretty fun, like, father-son bonding trip to go do.
Yeah, but he was skeptical about you, whether or not you could actually do this for a living. How did you convince him?
Yeah, so, I mean, he was really skeptical. He was big on, you know, me keeping my grades up and doing other sports. I played football for 5 years, actually, from, you know, Pop Warner to, you know, junior varsity. And I, to make the step into racing, I had to kind of give up all those things. And I still did school full time, but I was able to start racing. So he was skeptical of, you know, just how far I could make it. But I think, yeah, I won like my 5th or 6th race, and we started to kind of take off from there.
So you started out with vintage cars. So what exactly are the vintage cars? What are they all about?
Yeah, so it's a like scale size car. So it's not a full size car, but as a 13 to 16 year old kid, you can race them. You just have to, you know, get waivers and get approved. But it's not, because it's not a full size car, you're going about 120 miles an hour. So you're not full speed, but you still get the adrenaline and you still learn about the racecraft and stuff. So it definitely, you know, a lot of young kids do that.
You know, what's amazing to me, William, is the fact that many parents are loath to have their kids play football at that age, but your parents let you go drive a car at 120 miles an hour.
Yeah. Football was the start of it. And then, you know, I guess my mom she lost control on the danger aspect when it got to racing. But yeah, I was fortunate that my parents were okay with it, and that they helped me travel to all the races and I wasn't able to drive at the time. I was 15 years old. So they were able to get me to and from the track and travel all across the country.
And, you know, here's the big question that leads up to all of this. You spend countless hours racing online video game simulators. And I'm just wondering, how do those iRacing skills transfer successfully for you getting behind the wheel of a real race car?
Yeah, honestly, just the feel of the car visually. You know, visually, you're on a computer, you're using your eyes as all of your feedback. So I learned how to use my eyes and process what I was seeing on the track and learn where the grip was and how to move the car around the track. So I think when I got into a real car, I was able to use all my senses and, you know, sense of smell, just my feel. And it was actually, in some ways, it was a little bit easier because I was able to kind of use all those tools.
So, William, were you surprised to see your name, William Byron, on all three NASCAR National Series Rookie of the Year awards? Did you ever expect to have so much success so soon?
It was definitely surprising. I think that, you know, I expected to have to learn more across the different series, but I was really fortunate to kind of win early and get opportunities. And Mr. Hendrick, you know, called me up when I was, 19 years old and gave me the opportunity to drive in the Cup Series for Hendrick Motorsports. So yeah, it was kind of a crazy series of events. I kind of spent 1 year in each series and then progressed to the pros. So it was definitely different, but I learned a lot. Once you get to the pros, it's kind of a big learning experience, but I was lucky to get in when I was young.
You know, earlier we talked about payback and revenge on the track. I'm just wondering, did you encounter any jealousy or any sort of envy at any point when you were younger?
Oh, for sure. Like when I was younger, but I was racing against, you know, people that were 40 to 45 years old in the local tracks, it was definitely tough to manage the aggression and trying not to trying to have respect but still be aggressive to win. So it was definitely a learning process. I, you know, a couple conflicts along the way, but tried to just kind of earn the respect of the older guys, and then I think that helped me in the long term.
So what was it like when you finally got that call from Hendrick Motorsports that you were going to be one of the guys?
That was so cool. It was I was racing in the lower division, the Xfinity series that races on Saturdays. I landed back home, took a commercial flight back home, landed, got in the car and got a phone call that they wanted to meet with me that afternoon. So I was not sure what that was going to be. I didn't know if they were going to say, hey, you know, we want you to do this another year. But they called me up and we sat down at Mr. Hendrick's house and it was a pretty amazing 24 hours for sure. Just kind of hearing those words and that they wanted me in the Cup Series was really cool.
So a little bit later on, you get assigned the number 24 car, and we all know that's Jeff Gordon made that number famous. And now you're stepping into the number 24 car. I'm just thinking about the pressure on a young man's shoulders. What was that like?
It was a lot of pressure. I think my rookie year was a struggle. I think it is for most rookies and especially NASCAR. It just seems like the veteran guys have a leg up, but it was definitely a struggle. So I just had to stay grounded, and, you know, luckily Jeff and I are pretty close and we were able to have a lot of conversations about my learning process and how to improve. And just, they gave me a lot of time. They gave me a lot of resources and time just to develop. And I was lucky to have that because we made the playoffs in our second year. And then it was kind of, you know, we kind of got on a roll from there.
You know, I think about going from college football myself to pro football, and it was like a totally different set of circumstances. And I had to relearn a lot of things about playing the position of quarterback at the pro level. I read where you said it was very similar for you as a rookie. You had to learn relearn a lot of things about driving at that level.
Yeah, for sure. I think I thought I was really good at certain things, and then I got to the Cup Series and realized that everybody else was really good at them too. So I thought I was really fast and faster than all my peers at the time going through the ranks. And then you get to the Cup Series and you learn that all those guys are really good. So it was definitely a learning process. But, you know, I think as you kind of gather as you build the notebook over time, you kind of know what situations, you know what's going to happen next.
All right, we'll be right back to ask one of NASCAR's budding young superstars where he thinks the sport might be headed in the near future. Stay with us. Welcome back, everyone. Among the parade of first-time NASCAR Series winners this year are Chase Briscoe, Ross Chastain, Daniel Suarez, Tyler Reddick, and, of course, Austin Cindric, who was on this program after capturing the Daytona 500 to start the season. So, William, it seems like there's both parity and youth in today's drivers. Is there a special ritual that happens when one of these rookies tends to win one of these races?
Yeah, it's I think, you know, it's good to see for the sport to have young guys coming in and having success, because for, you know, 10 to 15 years, it was the same guys winning, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr. So those guys, you know, have retired, and there's kind of a new group coming in, and we're starting to win races. So it's a cool kind of changing of the guard to see it happen, and definitely happy for my peers, but not too happy. I want to be the one that's winning the races. So we'll try to keep doing that.
So next year, it's going to be the 75th anniversary of NASCAR. NASCAR has a lot of things planned, including an all-star race at the historic North Wilkesboro Speedway. It's one of stock car's original venues. How much fun do you think that's going to be?
I think it's going to be so cool. I think, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has been a big advocate for bringing back North Wilkesboro. And it's cool because I grew up in North Carolina, and it's one of those historic tracks in North Carolina, and kind of going back to our roots. So I've seen other sports do that and do a good job with it, with hockey, you know, doing the classics in the wintertime outside. And I think it'll be just a cool atmosphere. Hopefully we get a lot of support for it.
You know, here's one thing that they came up with that I can't wait to see, and that is the first ever streetcar race in downtown Chicago. Now, is there a simulator that you can actually get used to get ready for this race?
Yeah, I mean, we'll certainly use the Chevrolet simulator that we have. It has a lot of it scans the track, but I don't know honestly how they're going to do that. So I'm sure they'll get kind of a couple weeks a head start on it when the track's fully built. But we're in for a crazy race there. I think it's going to be exciting, honestly, just to see the NASCAR Cup cars go around that track and you know, the fans up close by the track.
You know, a lot of PGA Tour professionals say, you know, their commitment to the tour and their individual tournaments is too long, that they spend too much time away from home. Is that the same kind of feeling that the NASCAR drivers have about their long weekends?
Yeah, it certainly is a lot of time on the road. I think that I try to get some rounds of golf in on the road and try to just kind of stay loose, because we're usually on the road for 3 days a weekend, so, or 3 days a week. So we leave Friday mornings and we come back Sunday night late. So it's a long, 38 weekends a year, but it's kind of you get in that rhythm of traveling and you try to just balance the life away from home.
You know, I wanted to ask you this. There's a lot of young drivers out there, and we're talking about some of those drivers. Have you heard about 21-year-old Haley Deegan at all?
Yeah. She's doing a good job. She just had her first Xfinity race and did pretty well.
So you think she's got a future in NASCAR?
I think so. I think she's worked hard at it. She's got a great brand. Like, the things that she does a lot of off-road racing, and she's exciting to watch. So yeah, I think she's doing a good job so far, and always great to, you know, have somebody come up through the ranks like she is, and you know, it'll be cool to see what she does.
As we take the white flag here on Game Time, the podcast, I have to ask our guest, William Byron, about the giant Lego projects you've constructed. Now, this is insane to me, William. You've built the Empire State Building and the Titanic. Now, this has got to be some form of relaxation for you. And how did you get into it?
Yeah, so I was into it as a kid. I built a lot of Lego projects and kind of loved designing model cars and stuff. And then I went quite a few years without doing it. And my girlfriend actually bought me a Lego piano that was like 4,000 pieces. It actually functions as a piano. So that was really cool to build. I built that a couple years ago. And then From there, I started to just buy every Lego set that I could and start building it. So I built the Lego Titanic. It was 9,000 pieces. It's really cool because it detaches in three different parts, and you can kind of see the inside of the Titanic and the rooms and stuff. So it just became something that I got into over the off seasons and kind of just hanging out.
You know, speaking of bricks, what was it like this past summer having the legendary Mario Andretti drive you around the Indianapolis racetrack in a two-seater?
Yeah, that was amazing. He was super under control, but I was nervous. Like I was just nervous to go, you know, that at that speed. And honestly, I'm not used to riding around in a race car. I'm used to having control. So it was kind of nerve wracking, but it was super cool. Like the cool thing about that is when you're in an Indy car, the helmet kind of lifts off your head because of the air pressure that comes from the outside air. So I've never experienced anything like that. So it was really cool.
You also caught up with their former idol and teammate, and that was Jimmy Johnson, who's now into IndyCar racing. What'd you guys talk about?
Yeah, we just talked about his IndyCar season and the way that he's been doing. So he's been, you know, on the IndyCar circuit since he retired from NASCAR and trying that side of things. So we just talked about the differences there. It was pretty fun to kind of talk about.
You know, you do a lot of interesting things, William. And one of those interesting things was that you went to Steph Curry's graduation at Davidson.
Yeah.
Now, why would you do that?
So I had a buddy of mine that went to Davidson and a big basketball fan. And, you know, he's like, hey, I got two tickets to this graduation. I was like, sure, I'm not doing anything. So went up there and watched Steph Curry get, you know, I guess his jersey retired and graduate from Davidson. It was super cool. You know, Steph grew up just a few minutes down the road. Went to a school that's in the same conference as me in high school. So I was kind of interested just to see what he talked about. And, man, he's so talented. It's amazing to watch.
It is amazing to watch. You're studying at Liberty University right now. So hopefully you're going to graduate before Steph Curry does.
Yeah, that's the goal. That's what I joked about with my parents. I was like, you know, if I can just get a few years earlier than Steph Curry, that would be good.
And so what are you majoring in?
I'm in communications, so I started classes actually towards the end of high school, and then I'm not able to take a full course load, but I'm trying to do it during the off season and kind of you know, I'm close to finishing. I've got 7 or 8 credits left.
Oh, great! So I'm just wondering, is this going to help you communicate with your crew chief better?
I hope so. That would be a good perk to have from it.
Hey, tell me, what is the secret to the race burnout after you win, and how do you know when you've really actually hit the mark?
Yeah, so you drop it into like second or third gear. We have 5 gears, so you just try to get into a lower gear, but not too low to where it bounces off the rev limiter that the car has. So you put a lot of front brake to it, so you try to put all the brake to the front, so that the rear tires spin, and then you can hold the brake to keep friction on it. So yeah, it's pretty fun. It's honestly one of the most exciting things to do because the cockpit fills with smoke. You don't really know where you are, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, William, here's the more burnouts. We thank you for joining us today, and to all of you for watching. I'm Boomer Esiason, and I'll see you again real soon right here on Game Time with surfing legend Kelly Slater.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.